This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning. Good morning. It is 4 minutes past 8 o'clock in the morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting on your community radio station, KBOO. I am your host this morning, Lynn. Our regular co-host is still away tending to her family. We wish her and her family well. And once again, I am very happy to welcome Sarah Sneath to the airwaves as my co-host. Sarah is our intern and is helping to produce Positively Revolting for the rest of her term. And I'm thrilled that Sarah can be joining us again this morning. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
This morning, Positively Revolting continues to look at the critical issue of ending violence against women. Author Rebecca Solnit has recently released an article called A Rape a Minute, 1,000 Corpses a Year. It lays bare brutal information about the horrific scope of this issue. You can read that article online. It's been published on Common Dreams, Truth Out, Tom Dispatch, and many other sites. Just search for it. It's easy to find, and I do suggest everyone read it. As long as this very gendered violence goes on, Positively Revolting will persevere in our work to end it. To that end, this morning we are talking about 1 Billion Rising. It's an international day of action to raise awareness about the many forms of violence that women face in our lives. Our guest this morning is Almira Rodriguez, an organizer with 1 Billion Rising PDX. Good morning, Almira.
Morning, Nani.
Let's go ahead and start a conversation there. What is 1 Billion Rising? What is the day? What is it all about?
All right. Well, like you said, 1 Billion Rising is a global day of action. It's a day of action for women to come up out of their homes to strike, rise, and dance, and come out and participate in this global day of action and not do what they would have done otherwise that day, to kind of mark this day as the beginning of the end to violence against women, the point at which we say it's no longer tolerable, we'll no longer ignore it, it will not accept it.
Let's back up for a second. Strike, rise, and dance.
Right, right.
Let's unpack that. So strike, I mean, a women's strike, I'm familiar with the idea, mm-hmm. you know, women stop doing the work that we often do, most of it very unpaid, mm-hmm. Most of it just, well, that's just what we do. Mm-hmm. We make sure other people are okay, you know, and and so the idea of a women's strike to draw attention to violence in our lives, okay, cool. Rising up, gotcha, dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. That kind of makes it a little different to me. That sounds really different than what we've seen before. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Right. Well, if you go on and you can watch any of Eve Ensler's interviews, that she has many, many of them posted concerning 1 Billion Rising on YouTube, and you can check any of those out. But the theory is that when women dance together and when women dance simultaneously all over the world, that there will be a huge energy shift. So if you've ever been at a venue or at a concert, and you feel the energy of maybe 100 people dancing in that room, imagine what the energy put out into the universe will be when billion women dance together on the same day. So that's the theory around the dance aspect of this Global Day of Action.
So Eve Ensler is the author of The Vagina Monologues. And for the last 15 years, she has had sort of Valentine's Day set aside mm-hmm. to draw attention to the issues and problems of domestic violence. And is this sort of, I mean, I'm noticing the correlation. It's Eve Ensler. It's Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. It sort of seems like she's just shifting it up a few notches and calling for this, you know, global, I can't really say spontaneous because folks have been planning for months,
right.
but this global uprising mm-hmm. of dancing women.
Right. Well, Eve Ensler, longtime activist, feminist activist, she's been working for a long time to address violence against women all over the world. She's traveled all over the world, really in response to the violence that she's experienced in her own life. So she took that hardship, she took that trauma, and then tried to figure out what she could do for the rest of the world. And as she traveled, she began to realize that violence against women was everywhere. It took all forms, and no matter where she went, the conversations were the same, that women's bodies were being violated. And after 15 years, this is the 15th anniversary of V-Day and her work. So this year she said, wow, 15 years later and nothing's really changing. In fact, the statistics are getting worse. Violence against women is increasing. And she said, how can this be after all this work that we've put in all these years? So something on the 15th anniversary of V-Day has to change, something different than just the vaginal monologues has to happen to recognize this day. And so 1 Billion Rising was born.
I want to, you know, it seems like shifting things up is mm-hmm. a great idea about mm-hmm. now. I have to admit, I've had similar feelings of, wait a minute. Wait, I've been working on this my whole life. Yeah. I mean, there was a couple years where, in fact, I didn't really talk about it much because, well, I'm sure other people are just sick of hearing about it by now. But, you know, it's still a pervasive issue. And in fact, as you mentioned, Almira, it's more pervasive and right. it's disheartening. So how, you know, shifting gears, mm-hmm. Trying new tactics, it seems really important right now because what we've been doing mm-hmm. hasn't been working.
Right. I think largely in our society, we don't talk about it. And so I think what this movement of 1 Billion Rising really signifies is the end of the silence in reference to the violations that get perpetrated on our bodies. I know, having brushed up against violence against my own body several times during my life, that it's stigmatized and you are the victim and you don't speak about it. And I think that the common denominator in all this is that women don't speak about it.
And it's... that makes it a very different sort of crime, I think, mm-hmm. than any other crime that I know of. I don't know anyone who's ever hesitated to say, I was mugged.
No.
You know, I don't know anyone who hesitates to say, you know, my car got ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, I was raped.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain stigma. There's still, in fact, you know, so many women feel shame
right.
about a violence that has been done to them.
Yeah.
What's that about?
You know, I'm not really sure. I've been asking myself the question for several years now. But if you look at the trends and the way that we deal with violence against our bodies, when a woman is victim of domestic violence, she leaves the house. And when she's a victim of rape, she has to reconsider the clothes that she wears or the environment she puts herself in. And that's really troublesome because we didn't commit this crime, yet we're taking accountability and responsibility for our behavior to change it when we're not really the ones that can control that.
Yeah, I think, too, to add to that, I think that not only do women oftentimes fail to talk about these issues that they've experienced. I mean, I don't want to say, I guess fail is not a good word because it's not like it's their personal failure. It's, you know, it's a societal problem, but also there's a societal problem of other forms of violence against women. And I think we've talked about that before on the show about the ways in which popular culture victimizes women constantly, and maybe it's just a further, you know, it's because we don't talk about the smaller things, which are not small things, but, like, you know, it's talk about how women have to be held responsible for desexualizing their body, which they can't really do. I mean, because depending on the person, anything could be considered sexual, and then they're also supposed to be, like, you know, I don't know why women are held responsible for not being objects when, you know, they're being objectified.
Right. that shift, the blame is always shifted onto women should have done better to protect ourselves mm-hmm. from male violence, mm-hmm. which is, you know, just really ass backwards.
Right. There was a recent story that just came out, and it was about Child Protective Services and how women who are in domestic violence situations are now getting their children taken away from them because they're in these domestic violence situations and exposing their children to domestic violence, but yet there are no services. I mean, we've just seen these austerity measures that have cut the services that would provide alternative housing to women who are in domestic violence situations. So they essentially can't leave because there are no programs funded, and then for staying, just to meet the basic shelter needs of their children, they get their children taken away from them. So it's this really, really critical issue that we need to start looking at, and how do we stop putting the blame and the accountability on the women and on the victims of violence?
Well, we encourage your calls right now, dear listener, about what you are doing to end violence against women. As we've mentioned, there hasn't been a whole lot of headway made.
Yeah.
And it's really, I have to say, it's insane to live in a world where women are denigrated, to live under patriarchy, where women's bodies are objectified, commodified, used, and exploited. It's time to stop it. So I encourage your call about what you are doing to end violence against women, what you are doing to smash the patriarchy, and how you are feeling about things like 1 Billion Rising. Give us a call at 503-231-231. 8187. You can also follow along conversations throughout the week on Facebook. You can like our page, Positively Revolting, and stay in touch. You can also contact us by email at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. So, again, in looking at, I want to get back to looking at 1 Billion Rising and maybe talk a little bit more about the strike aspect to it as well. So there's the dancing, which, again, is just a truly creative twist, you know, mm-hmm. on this. I love the idea of shifting the energy that surrounds this issue and truly doing something empowering. But another way of empowering ourselves is to say enough of our free labor, enough of our time, enough of our energy until our needs are taken seriously. And our most basic need is to live our lives free of violence, to live our lives in having a basic sense of safety. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the strike.
All right. Basically, the strike is calling for women to not do what you were going to do that day. We all know that as women, our afternoons and evenings are filled up with, running errands, getting off of work, whatever it is that we're doing, getting home, cleaning up, making dinner, helping with homework, you know, all those things that really come with being a woman or a mother. We are constantly serving others or helping others. And so what we're asking is that you just take this one day to recognize your own needs and the needs of the sisters and mothers and daughters of the world, and kind of recognize the fact that atrocities are playing out while you're cooking those dinners, while you're packing those lunches or washing that laundry. Just take one day to recognize that. So that's what we're asking.
Specifically, how could someone who wants to go dance with other women or strike with other women, where could they go and at what time?
So a little bit more about the specifics of 1 Billion Rising PDX.
Okay. Well, we have a February 14th Global Day of Action again, but we've also got several lead-up events to February 14th that I would like to speak to, because that can get people kind of prepared and kind of plugged into the network before February 14th. So actually today we have a sign-making party at the PSU Women's Resource Center. That's to just prepare for February 14th. You can come down, get your sign ready. There's beautiful art supplies, everything located there, and really put your message out there for what you want to be said. Why are you coming to march on February 14th? And get that prepared. Again, that's happening from 3 to 5 at the PSU Women's Resource Center. And then on Saturday and Sunday, February 9th and 10th, we've also got the Learn the Break the Chain dance flash mob practice. So if you are coming down, you really want to engage in the flash mob aspect, we're going to be hosting flash mob practice. That's, again, on both Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. You don't need to be present for both, obviously. But if you want to, if you really want to perfect your dance and really get in there, again, the Learn the Break the Chain dance. Break the Chain dance is a choreographed dance specifically for 1 Billion Rising Day of Action. This is a dance that women have been practicing for months all over the globe and are going to be dancing. So if you want to join in on that energy, you don't need to come to practice, but if you want to, we're definitely holding space for that. And that's going to be, again, Saturday and Sunday at 2620 Northeast Fremont. All right. And then, let's see, the next event is going to be Misrepresentation Film Screening. So we're going to be at the Peace House on Saturday, this Saturday, at 6:30 p.m., Misrepresentation Film Screening. If you're not familiar with misrepresentation, it's a movie, a documentary about the media's message that a woman's value lies in youth, beauty, and sexuality, which compromises her ability to achieve her full potential. So we're going to be doing that at 6:30 at the Peace House, which is at 18th and Tillamook, 2116 Northeast 18th Avenue, intersecting with Tillamook. Again, these events are all free. We don't charge anybody anything for these events. If you want to make a donation to help support the event, then that's glad. That's welcome, but not necessary. Come on down and get involved.
And if someone wanted to find a list of these events, if they weren't able to jot all that down, where could they find that?
You can go to our Facebook page, 1 Billion Rising PDX Facebook page, or you can go to our WordPress. If you're not on Facebook, we've also got a pretty extensive WordPress going. It's 1billionrisingpdx.wordpress.com. All of our information is right there. All of our events, links are all there.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and take a listener. Good morning, Kara. You're on the air.
Hi.
Can't hear.
I just wanted to make a comment about violence against women and how sometimes it tends to be a woman's problem, and really it's a problem for everybody. It's a problem for men who have sisters, who have mothers, who have daughters. And I really just want to include the men in this because they are a part of it. They're affected by it.
Absolutely, it's true. And I also, I guess I would throw in that, you know, a man as a compassionate thinking human being is affected by it, whether they want to try to relate it to their sister, mom, daughter, or whatever, partner. You know, it's I think that we really need to try to encourage men to be empathic, to you know, really engage in their compassionate selves and to use that compassion to talk to other men about ending the violence. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for your call. Is that everything you had?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Kara.
I'd like to address that. Absolutely, men's involvement is critical to actually changing our culture because women don't commit these crimes against themselves. And that needs to be talked about. What we're hoping is that this will be a day where men recognize the violence and the effects that are playing out and actually step up and make a commitment not to commit violence against women. And that's really what this day is about as well. And we want to include men. We cannot end violence against women without men's participation and commitment to ending it and changing the culture within themselves as well.
I think that's absolutely true. I think also just recognizing what is and what isn't violence mm-hmm. is very important as well, because so many things that are absolutely normative in our society, in the locker room humor, mm-hmm. in sitcom humor, I see rape jokes, you know, all the freaking time, and I don't even have a television, but I see it in the promos that I see, you know, in the magazines I look at, or online, you know, in the sidebars, I see rape jokes, and that normalizes the, you know, the activity. So that actually, in studies, we find a really vast percentage of men, you know, in the in around the 25-30% mark, depending on the study, have admitted to doing something that they feel in hindsight may have been coercive, right. may have been out of line, you know, but at the time seemed like the thing to do. And so to get everyone, you know, to get men to recognize that is violence, and to talk to their brothers about that, and to get women to recognize that that is violence and it actually is not their fault, right? I know that when I was date raped, I blamed myself for 2 years until I went to some lecture and it was mentioned all of the things that happened during that experience and then labeled it as date rape. And I'm like, what? And I was a feminist, you know. I was kind of, aware, and yet, you know, I distanced myself from it. Oh no, it must have been my fault. I shouldn't have, you know. I must have. There were all these cues I could have. Yeah. No, in fact, you know. So I think it's just really important for us to all get clear on how normative the experience of violence against women is, and to reject it in our lives. As soon as we recognize it, reject it.
Yeah, and I think that, too, to add to that, that violence against women is oftentimes too indicative of violence against men, and men who feel like forced into the man box of what being a man is, and how men, being a man means being violent, means being assertive in a way that is coercive at times. It means getting what you want no matter what. And I think that that is a form of violence too. And that's another reason why men should want to join this movement, because it hurts men too. It's not good for anyone.
Absolutely. It's dehumanizing. It really is dehumanizing to us all. Patriarchy dehumanizes and hurts everyone. So let's stop it. We also have Ed on the line. Let's go ahead and talk to Ed. Good morning, Ed. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
First of all, I'd like to agree with the previous caller, but the comment that I wanted to make is that there's so many battles to be fought in this, you know, for as far as violence against women, and also violence against people as well, just in general. But so many battles, and when there are so many battles, and when you try to solve a problem comprehensively or universally, it allows those opposition forces to kind of say, well, the problem's too big, and so they do nothing. And I think that a better way to approach the problem is to pick a certain area and focus all your attention on that. And I think the one area where people, especially here in the U.S., could really make a difference is in the military. We know what that problem is. People have daughters. Everybody has daughters in the military. You know, the CEO, the lifer in the military, the general, the private, you know, everybody has somebody in the military, or a niece, or, you know, somebody. And if you could focus the attention on that and get that problem fixed and say, okay, here's what we've done. We've accomplished something. Now you have all that energy and that force to take it in other places. Anyway, that's my comment. Let me know what you think. Thank you.
Are you, Ed, before you, are you still there,
yeah,
Ed?
I'm still
okay.
Here.
Are you talking specifically about the incredible occurrence of rape in the military perpetrated against our women armed forces
Absolutely.
Members?
Absolutely. Because nobody can deny that situation.
Yeah, in fact, I believe it was
they know how the power structure works. They know how vulnerable these people are. They know the mentality of the people in the military, as far as the men, I mean. You know, they... Anyway, I don't want to try to describe that, but I think people already understand how that thing works and how the chain of command works and how they protect their own. And once you can expose all those things and say, look, these are our daughters, these are our mothers, these are our sisters, you can't do this stuff. And if you do, then there's going to be some consequences. And then you take them up to Congress, and everybody from the general on down, from, you know, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, everybody's got to be accountable for what's going on. And if they say, oh, well, we didn't see it, or you know, we couldn't afford to punish this person because he was so valuable, no.
Right. And just to, again, to, I guess, contextualize what you're saying, rape in the military has been called an occupational hazard by the Pentagon. And that's not acceptable, right?
It is not acceptable. And just to change words doesn't change the situation.
Right.
It's like saying enhanced interrogation is a different word for torture. That's just Orwellian, you know, mumbo jumbo that says, oh, well, that makes it better. It's still the same process. We just changed the name of it. Let's change rape to a different name, and then somehow that makes it better. It just doesn't work, and, you know, too many people have their eyes closed to it.
All right. Thanks very much for your call this morning.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think what he's saying is exactly on point. I think the causes of violence against both genders is more extreme. The patriarchy is definitely more extreme in the military than it is in, you know, popular American culture. It's intensified, and so it makes sense that it would be there'd be a higher rate of rape also there, and there is a great documentary on that. It's called The Invisible War, and it gets to a lot of those points that he was talking about.
Yeah, I wanted to validate Ed and let him know that the issues that he raised are being addressed by 1 Billion Rising PDX, and in fact, we've partnered and allied with Code Pink here in Portland for this Global Day of Action, and they're going to be a presence at our events as well, and talking and giving out resources about the violence perpetrated against women in the military, and also the violence that is just a result of war. So they're going to be there, and I want also to say that we live in rape culture. We live in a culture that rapes everything, not just women's bodies, but we rape the earth. We rape our democracy. We rape our human rights. And from my perspective, and the reason that I got involved with 1 Billion Rising, because the world's problems are so huge, and oftentimes I do feel, oh my gosh, what can I do? But I think that if everybody kind of takes a look, we can realize the profound connections between violence against women and the rape culture that exists in every facet of our society and everywhere. So that's the reason that I'm getting involved with 1 Billion Rising.
I want to remind people you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station. I'm Ani. I'm here with Sarah, my co-host this week. Our guest is Almira Rodriguez. She's a local organizer with 1 Billion Rising PDX, which is part of a global day of rising up, striking, and dancing, empowering women to end violence, empowering everyone to end violence against women and the violence in our lives. we encourage your call at 503-231-8187. Let us know what you are doing to end violence. If you have questions about the upcoming events throughout this week to highlight 1 Billion Rising, culminating in Valentine's Day next week, we encourage your calls with your questions, with your comments, and with your experiences at 503-231-8187. Also, to remind you, if you haven't done so already, you can check out and like our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Positively Revolting. You can also email us, positivelyrevolting.com. And Sarah reminds me this morning, you can also follow us on Twitter. We promise we'll start tweeting more. You can find us on Twitter at Positive Revolt.
So promos are coming up this morning on KBOO at 9. Gwardar's hosts Voices of the Middle East. His guest is Professor Ahmed Sadari, who will talk about his recent book, the translation of Shahnameh, the epic Persian Book of Kings. At 10, Flashpoints reports that Obama will nominate subprime queen and Hyatt Regency billionaire Penny Pritzker to be the next Secretary of Commerce, and more on the confirmation hearings for John Brennan, the nominee for CIA chief. And at 11, the Digital Divide host Rabia Yaman interviews Cory Doctorow about his newest science fiction novel, Homeland, Copyright and Fair Use, Aaron Schwartz, and Digital Activism. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
All right, and let's go ahead and take another caller. Good morning, Al. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I missed the first 15 or 20 minutes of your program, unfortunately, so maybe there's been a reference to pornography. Pornography is so pervasive in a place like Portland that it's...
Can you speak up a little bit, Al?
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to comment on pornography in relation to what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's so pervasive in a place like Portland that it's generally... accepted, I think, without comment. But pornography, in my view, is about violence against women. It enables additional types of violence. It reinforces sexist attitudes. And, you know, like I say, it's so pervasive in Portland that nobody seems to notice much. But I think there needs to be a discussion about it as an industry and the way it affects our society and especially women, and then I'll get off the air. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. I think that the way that the pornography industry today has evolved, it's evolved around profit. And anywhere you have profit, you have exploitation. And for me, the pornography industry really hinges on the exploitation of women. I don't know if it was always that way. I don't know its origins. But certainly today, much like every other industry, it makes its profits by exploitation. And I don't know if you remove the factor of exploitation out of there, would it still be objectifying? Would it still be creating violence and promoting violence against women? I don't know. But from everything that I've analyzed about it and my thoughts on it is that it's heavily linked with the exploitation aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that there actually have been feminist erotica. I think we tend to call it erotica when it's, I don't know why. I've always liked the word smut myself. Mm-hmm. But I think that there are various degrees. I think that there are various types. I think that there have been long debates in the feminist community about whether any kind of erotica, any kind of sexually explicit pictures or videos involving women can ever be okay. I personally think it can be. I think that there are, I think it can be very positive. But again, there are also the pornographers that are, and this is by far the most common sort, and that's the problem, that are absolutely exploitive, that actually exploit trafficked women, mm-hmm. that there's not an issue of consent going on. Women are being forced into the porn industry. And the sorts of porn that are becoming very, very common, being sort of gonzo porn, as I had discussed a couple years ago with author Robert Jensen, is a particularly violent aspect where women are absolutely degraded and humiliated as part of the porn. And for whatever reason, that is, that's selling, right? And whatever reason that is, well, I think that's because we have patriarchy, and that's how men are being socialized, and it's sort of a circular dynamic. It's sort of a spiral. Mm-hmm. The more we can sort of regear ourselves and our erotic selves to actually find non-exploitive, positive sexual images of people, you know, having a good time, then I think we'll all be better off as a culture. That's, you know, my personal view. Mm-hmm. I also want to remind folks, I mentioned this last week, but there is tomorrow night, an action planned in Portland that is Take Back the Night, ladies only walk. It's going to be, last I heard, around the Pearl District, inner northwest, downtown Bar District area. And that is going to be starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow evening, meeting at Pioneer Square. So please, if you are interested, all, and again, this is open to women, trans women, folks that are identifying as women, women, the broad spectrum of women, please feel invited and participate in that. Again, that's 9 p.m. tomorrow night. And you can find information, again, on Facebook. It is Take Back the Ladies' Night Out is what it's called. Just wanted to throw that in there as well.
I'll add one thing to that. I have partnered with the organizer, one of the organizers of that event, Monica, and we're going to be supplying that group with flyers for 1 Billion Rising to also get the word about 1 Billion Rising out and to raise awareness. So if you're interested in helping promote February 14th, Day of Action, and want to get more people involved, definitely head out to that event and help flyer for 1 Billion Rising.
There are, again, people coming up with creative actions to fight patriarchy, to end violence against women all the time. And I want to encourage us to share our stories with each other, to share our plans with each other, and to let each other know about these actions. So to that end, please do call us at 503-231-8187. And Lorraine, you're next. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I really appreciate the chance to listen to this program and participate. And I thought of a couple things last night while I was thinking about the word rape. And I thought, you know, it really seems to kind of speak to one gender, and the way that we name things are the way that we claim them. And the word rape brings up certain things, mental images in different people's minds. And I thought, gee, it seems like it should be called bodily invasion, because human bodily invasion. But anyway, that was just a thought. But beyond that,
I totally agree with you, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a, well, you know, there's a, and speaking to what Ed said, it intrigued me, because when you call something an occupational hazard instead of a work injury, and I've experienced this with a safe claim many years ago at work. When they told me that my injury was an occupational hazard, which I didn't believe it was, and not a work injury, the claim was thrown out. So I just wanted to speak to that, because that could be very significant. And there's another thing about words and naming. And Sonia Johnson once said, men talk about women's issues. She said, you have to squinch your mouth into a tiny little O to say the word issues. And I think maybe she said that to get people to realize, and maybe we should be angry about the way things are named. And one more thing. As a person who's thrived through, lived through, survived and thrived domestic violence, rape, date rape, and other things, I can say that... Well, I really kind of forgot what I was going to say, because it's so, it just makes me so nervous to talk about it. But what I had thought in my head that I was going to say before I called was, I've experienced my share of violence. Mm-hmm. And I thought, isn't that interesting that I would think my share as if I needed to own it and claim it? And like the other person said, this is happening. Someone else is perpetrating this upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm doing to help other women, to help all survivors, thrivers of rape, all violence, is to support them, to listen to their story and to support them and to believe them. Because that is, I think, the first step to mental health for people who have gone through this. Anyway.
Lorraine, thank you so much for your call. That really hits home to me as well.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I thought that that was some very good information. I also wanted to say that you can like us on Positively Revolting on Facebook, and I mentioned that because a person there wrote in a little bit that I'd like to read. His name's Patrick Engstrom-Poor, and he says, as a straight male, I've been finding it useful to focus on this equation. Violence against women and men's feelings of incompleteness are symptoms of the same thing. Men have no place to deposit their feelings of vulnerability and fear except into the women in their environment, and sometimes that takes the form of violence. Patriarchy prevents us from being whole people. Women's empowerment and sexual liberation move toward wholeness is not sufficient to end violence against women because men need to have a corresponding integration in the relational and emotional sphere. Violence against women will not end until we end, transform patriarchy and rape culture. As a male, I'm committed to working with other men and women to heal us and make us whole people.
Thank you, Patrick, for sharing your thoughts with us this morning. Again, you can do that on Facebook, where you can find us at Positively Revolting. You can also email us at Gmail, where we are, in fact, positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to join us this morning. We have just about, 18 minutes left in the show, so don't wait till that last moment. You'll know you'll be trying to cram on in there. We'd love to talk to you early on, so please do give us a call at 503-231-8187. Let us know what you're doing to smash the patriarchy. Let us know what you are doing to shift the energy around this pervasive mentality of rape culture that we see around us really all the time. It's in advertising, it's in pop culture, it's in music, it's in our politicians. Oh my God, last year was just a banner year for it. It's, you know, it's there as we decide we can't really fund the Violence Against Women Act. It's, you know, it's there in our military. It's there all around us. And we don't even see it. It's normal. It's not normal. We need to see it. We need to help each other become aware of it. We need to clearly delineate that this is not a woman's trouble. It's not a woman's issue. It's not a woman's, you know, responsibility to end the violence that is perpetrated against her. We need to speak to that. And we need brothers to talk to brothers. And we need to indeed smash the patriarchy that oppresses us all. I absolutely agree with Patrick's thoughts there this morning. I think that as long as patriarchy tells men that it is normal to be aggressive, they have to be dominant or they are not a man, that as long as tenderness and vulnerability and sadness and intimacy are denied men due to gender role conformity, gender role socialization, gender binary behaviors, then we're going to continue seeing this because that breaks men, right? That breaks boys. And how do they find power? Well, they are told, they are socialized, this is how you find power. This is all of a piece, right? So let's stop this violence, period. Let's stop the patriarchy. Let's work together. We want to hear your ideas on what you're going to do to end patriarchy right about now. 503-231-8187. Almira, you had mentioned that 1 Billion Rising is 1 Billion Rising PDX is collaborating with Idle No More, and I want to know more about how that collaboration started.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll take you back on a little bit of a history for just a moment. Back when Oregon Territory was going down the road to statehood, and this is during colonial time, and we have removed the native populations onto reservations at this time, and we were forming our first Congress and our Constitution for Oregon, and we had decided at that point that we did not want to be a state that was open to black migration, and this was just after Civil War, and we didn't want to bring the black population to Oregon, and one of the concerns out of that was because the people of that time were afraid that if we were to bring black migration into Oregon, that they would form alliances with the native populations. So they're taking two very aggressively oppressed communities and out of a fear of those communities creating alliances and really rejecting the oppression, we voted to include black exclusion laws into our constitution. And I think that's important and a valuable thing to bring up today is because we have two very oppressed groups of people, women as well as the Native populations, who are today forming alliances to end the oppression. And so that's how that came about. And Idle No More has been very active within the last several weeks, and we've been seeing it all over, and we wanted to do our part to connect with this very important movement. One thing for us all to remember is that the U.S. attorney declined to prosecute 52% of violent crimes on reservations and 67% of reservation-based sexual assaults. Those are staggering statistics. And with the recent killing of the VAWA Act, the Violence Against Women Act, actually died. And what the Violence Against Women Act would have done is it would have allowed tribal authorities to prosecute crimes, sexual crimes. And right now, there is really no jurisdiction on reservations. And we have pedophiles that are going onto reservations to commit sexual abuse. We have rapists going onto reservations to commit rape. We have violent men marrying women on reservations. And there is no accountability. There is no jurisdiction for anybody to prosecute them if they're not a tribal member. So this is really, really important. It was important for me to make this alliance with 1 billion, Idle No More PDX and 1 Billion Rising PDX to really speak to these two very oppressed groups coming together and demanding an end.
I think that's a really exciting and wonderful collaboration. I'm so glad to hear it happening. 503-231-8187. Join us on the air, just like Karen is doing right now. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to tell you how I personally was able to deal with the oppression that was going to happen in my life because I'm a woman. The first instance growing up, I could see that my mother was working for men so she was a secretary. But she had a lot of responsibility and she took a lot of work that, you know, she never got credit for. So I told myself when I became a woman and worked for people that there's no way I would train a man to be my supervisor who had come up in the ranks with me. And I had that exact opportunity after I'd been working 7 years for a company. A man who was hired the same day as me kind of went on a little different trajectory than me. He got supervisory roles, whereas I got responsibility. But in the end, he became my manager. And I flat out told him to his face, I said, when he asked me some questions about the computer program, I said, I'm not going to train you. That's not my job. I already know all this stuff. You should know it too. But you're here because somebody put you here because you played golf with them. So, you know, I kind of laughed about it and I left. I kept my job for the next 4 years until there was a big layoff. But another point I wanted to mention that I personally overcome what was going on, a man who was a friend of a friend of mine tried to rape me. In the process, and he was a martial arts expert, so he had pretty effectively ripped off my pants and was getting ready. And I looked at his face and I said, you're a piece of shit. What would your mother think about you? And he was done. He got up and he left. So I think that self-defense for women is really an important tool. It's something that we can use in our personal lives. It's something we should educate other women how to be careful around men, you know, because unfortunately there are many that we can't trust. And I have some wonderful men in my life, and I've been through some terrible, terrible crap in my life, too. But I feel I'm strong because of it, and I wish my daughters to be strong, too.
Thank you very much for your call this morning.
Thank you.
There's a lot of discussion in the community and women's community right now around self-defense. And I personally think it's kind of a both and, because I'm kind of a pragmatist. It's hard for a lot of people to believe I'm a pragmatist, but I think I'm a pragmatist. I am. And that is, there's a strong feeling that we should not need to learn self-defense. that this is, in fact, not something that we're responsible for. That to say, you know, well, did you try to fight, you know, the guy off, puts responsibility back on the woman to allow, and I'm using air quotes, and it's hard to use air quotes on the radio, but to allow herself to be raped as if there was some choice in the matter, as if that was not oxymoronic to the definition of rape to begin with. That said, you know, so I firmly believe it is not our responsibility to stop rape. You know, it is not our responsibility to keep ourselves from being raped. However, looking around us, there are women who choose to learn self-defense to see if that can be another tool to use in this culture that is sick. And sometimes women find it very empowering to know that they have that tool that they can try to use if they feel it is safe for them at the time to do so. There is the Woman Strength Program that actually has been sponsored by the Portland Police Bureau that I have a couple of friends that are trainers for. They use women from the community as trainers for that program. I know I went through that program myself shortly after being date raped when I was, you know, 20 or something. And I found it really empowering. That said, again, it's not our responsibility to stop the violence perpetrated against us. It, I think, is smart to have a number of tools at our disposal, however.
I agree with you there, Ani. And I just want to point out that while it's not our responsibility to end rape culture and violence against women, we do need to be empowered with the skills and the tools that we need when we're put in that position of needing to defend ourselves. And I just wanted to mention that on February 14th, after our march and rally, we're going to be headed to a downtown venue for lots of workshops. And one of those workshops is going to be a woman's strength workshop, free to the community, as well as a girl's strength workshop. So both women and girls have an opportunity to come down and gain these skills.
And let's go ahead and take our, it's probably going to be our last call. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, Arnie, a couple of things. First of all, when you talk about getting rid of patriarchs, you're talking about getting rid of the Bible, because the patriarchs, where the man is the head and the woman is the helpmate, that's a biblical thing. Also, when you talk about violence and everything, I can think of a lot of violence that's perpetrated by females in the form of abortions. Of course, they don't call it violence. They call it choice, but it is violence. So you have to bring that part of the equation into it, too. And also, one of the things that I think that females can do to minimize rape is when they come out in society, to be properly dressed. I mean, because I think a lot of women contribute to a lot.
My goodness, Mike, I'm gonna stop you for just one moment and just reflect back to you. No, that's not true. Women are raped from the time we are infants to the time we are 80. It does not have anything to do with what we wear. It really doesn't have anything to do with inflaming sexual desire on the behalf of a man. It doesn't have to do with you can see our ankles. Oh, my God. It's not that. It's about males asserting power over women. That's what it's about. Get educated. I'm sorry, but that is a line I cannot breach. That is not okay, not acceptable to blame rape on women.
Yeah.
It's male violence. Now, if we want to talk about the patriarchy in the Bible and we can get into that, okay, fine. You know, but no, we're not going to go ahead and say, oh, yeah, well, I showed my elbow. Woo! You know, it's that's insane.
I would encourage this caller to maybe do some research about the incident.
Mike hung up. I just want to mention. Oops.
Mike,
came on a little strong there, Mike.
Mike, please do some research and maybe look into the stories that are coming out of India and Egypt about the rape culture there, where women are completely covered and yet they're being pulled off of buses and gang raped and having their insides pulled out of their body and left on the side of the road. And these women are fully clothed. I don't particularly believe that it has much to do with the clothes that we wear.
Yeah.
The best way to stop rape is not rape. That's the best way to
You know, Sarah, I agree. You know, so we have just a few minutes left, and what a note to end on, eh? I'm awake. So let's just give those upcoming dates that people can participate in 1 Billion Rising, this day of global action to stop violence against women. Let's strike, dance, rise. I love that. So again, there's a couple of things leading up to it. And then on Thursday, if you can give us those dates and times and a way to contact you.
Okay. Well, I spoke earlier in the show about some of the lead up events. And if you want some more information, you can just go to KBOO and replay the show. And I'll speak to a few more. Our next 1 Billion Rising final coordinating meeting is happening this Monday. So if you're still wanting to get involved, there's lots of work to do to make this event happen. That's going to be happening on this Monday, February 11th, from 6 to 9 p.m. And that's going to be at the Sunnyside Methodist Church. You can find that information on our WordPress page as well as our Facebook page. Just go to the events page and you'll find it all there. And then I will spend the rest of my time speaking about the actual February 14th events. So on February 14th, we're going to be meeting at Director's Park at 3 p.m. Our rally is at 3 p.m. And Director's Park is located at 815 Southwest Avenue. And we rally at 3 p.m., march at 3:30. And our march is going to lead back to the Pytheon building, which is located at 918 Southwest Yamhill. And we're going to be there from 4 to 7 p.m. for an afternoon and evening full of workshops and networking and food and meditation and dance and perhaps more flash mobbing from there. And I want to speak to just a few of the workshops that we're going to be offering. We're going to be, again, offering a women's strength and girl strength workshop. We're also going to be hosting a workshop from the Sexual Assault Resource Center. There, that workshop I'm particularly excited about because it's going to be exploring the prevalence of human sex trafficking here in Portland. If nobody knows this, we are the second largest portal for human sex trafficking in our nation. And so the Sexual Assault Resource Center is going to be shedding some light on that and letting you know how you can get involved in ending that portal here in Portland. Then we're going to be having a workshop about teen dating violence, and the host of that workshop is State Senator Lori Mones Anderson. She was the sponsor of the House Bill 4077, which mandates that Oregon educational institutions take a more proactive and engaging role in educating about teen dating violence. Teen dating or domestic violence isn't just an adult issue. We're finding that more and more often teens are caught up in very unhealthy relationships where they're being exposed to violence. So wanting to really inform young girls from a very early age what an unhealthy relationship looks like and how to identify if they are in one so they can get those skills early in life and so they don't end up a victim of domestic violence or rape or anything like that. The next workshop that we're going to be having is The Root of Woman's Oppression and How to End It. I won't go into a lot of detail about that one. All of these workshops, again, are on our WordPress site, and you can find extensive information about the hosts of those workshops as well as the information that's going to be covered. Those are just a few of the workshops.
And so, again, your WordPress site is?
1billionrisingpdx.wordpress.com.
Is one actually written out as a word?
Yes, it is.
Okay, one written out as a word, billionrisingpdx.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
All right, we are out of time. I want to thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. Almira Rodriguez, organizer with 1 Billion Rising PDX, part of the Global Day of Action to End Violence Against Women. Thank you, Sarah, for joining us this morning once again. Best wishes to Lynn and her family. And let's work together to, you know, smash patriarchy this week. What do you think?
Okay.
Let's do it. Okay. See you next week when we will be talking about Alien Boy, the life and death of James Chassie.
KBOO Radio is proud to help sponsor Threshold, Black Water Snake, a benefit for the Oregon Acupuncture and Naturopathic Associations. Saturday, February 9th, from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m., will be a Chinese New Year party. And Sunday, February 10th, from 6 to 10 p.m., will be a benefit auction fundraiser. Both events will be held at Refuge PDX, 116 Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. The Blackwater Snake is intuitive, a socially adventurous spirit that loves taking risks. The theme encourages discovery of balance in the feminine and masculine energies within ourselves, our relationships, our communities, and the world at large. More information can be found at kabu.fm/threshold2013.
Coming up this morning on KABU, at 9, Gudars hosts Voices of the Middle East. His guest is Professor Ahmad Sadri, who will talk about his recent book, the translation of Shahnameh, the epic Persian Book of Kings. At 10, Flashpoints reports that Obama will nominate subprime queen and Hyatt Regency billionaire Penny Pritzker to be the next Secretary of Commerce. And more on the confirmation hearings for John Brennan, the nominee for CIA chief. At 11, on The Digital Divide, host Rabia Yemin interviews Cory Doctorow about his newest science fiction novel, Homeland, copyright and fair use, Aaron Schwartz, and digital activism. Thanks, KABU members, for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
This Valentine's Day, KBOO presents the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Rear Window, plus a pre-show performance by Portland's favorite late-night talk show host, Contessa de la Luna. That's Valentine's Day starting at 7 p.m. for Contessa de la Luna live on stage, followed by the film Rear Window. Doors open at 6:30 at the Clinton Street Theater, 26th and Southeast Clinton in Portland. Tickets are available now at Brown Paper Tickets. Seating is limited. 100% of ticket sales go to KBOO for this benefit spectacular. See events under the KBOO website for February 14th, Valentine's Day. See you there.